Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Great cash, homie.
Feedback Friday, part two here. I'm Mackie and Judd. A little leftover bag of Vikings feedback for you guys. You can always hit us up as we turn the show over to you, the audience, on Fridays. You can hit us up with your questions, your comments, your concerns, critiques about the show, about Minnesota sports teams through the Score North app. There's a feedback tab. That's the best way to get a hold of us. It's kind of our consolidated place. We try to get to as many as possible. We'll also grab some from YouTube and from Twitter and whatnot. And so let's get right into it here, boys. Frank Bella chimes in via the Score North app and says, like many Vikings fans, I have not been watching regularly this offseason, Purple Daily and Mackie and Juddy's talking about, as I continue my annual after-season depression.
Cleanse. Before
I go any further there, I feel like it's been 3 months now, right? Almost 3 months.
Yeah.
Come back in. Come on, Frank.
I think with the NFL, it's a little different. You can come back in quicker. Like, it took me up until probably a week and a half ago to get over the Twins. So that was like 6 months of pent-up frustration.
Yeah.
I think different sports allow different things. But with the Vikings, NFL, it's such a different beast.
I feel like the cleanse, though, with the Vikings, if you duck out too fast or if you duck out for a prolonged period, you miss the fun. Like the combine and the free agency. Like I feel like if you're going to detox Vikings, you dump out for the rest of the playoffs, like watch the games, but who cares? Because nothing happens then. And I would actually say the detox should then resume around July 1st, late June, and then
I
go
agree.
To training camp. Like,
yeah.
I feel like
get your mind right during the summer months. Yeah.
But you're missing the fun. Like, there's nothing. There's what's happened since the combine that's been frustrating. I think it's intriguing and interesting.
It's all hopeful. Like, it kind of goes from you're frustrated for a couple of weeks, but then it gets into speculation season, roster changing season. I'm with you. I think you should still be consuming Purple Daily and Mackie and Judd in June and July, right? Like, of course. But
I'm just trying to help here.
Come on back here. But Frank says, you guys got it wrong last year, and you're getting it wrong again this year. I predicted a 13-win season last year, Frank says. For 2023, with the roster they currently have, the Vikings are set to go to the NFC Championship game and beyond. The offense will be better. The defense will be a 14th to 19th ranked defense, which is all we need. The NFC is wide open. I don't buy that Philly, Dallas, or San Francisco are elite teams. I will allow a 1 or 2 game regression because of the tougher schedule, but the division is ours, and we should be the 1 or 2 seed. Write it down. Best to you guys.
Okay, let's go,
Frank.
What do you think? You know what? First of all, so he's not out. He's back in because he clearly heard what we said. So, Frank, welcome back. The water's warm. Let's go. I love it. Yes, you know what? This is, again, this is why you don't duck out right now. Because that statement, I can buy it. I might not agree completely, but I'm not going to.
Okay, if Philly and San Francisco aren't elite teams, then are you saying, Frank, that there are no elite teams in the NFC?
Might be what he's saying.
Because Philly and San Francisco are the two best teams in the NFC.
That's what I'm hearing.
Unless the Vikings surpass them.
Yeah, he's saying the NFC is wide open, which I agree with. But here's the problem is there's always someone who won 7 games last year is going to pop up and look like the 1 or 2 best teams in the NFC. I didn't think the Eagles would go overnight from a wild card team to the number one team in the NFC this time last year. I don't think any of us really saw that. They could say, oh, yeah, they could be a sneaky team again. No one saw them being the juggernaut running through the whole dang conference from basically the start of the season to the Super Bowl. So someone that we're not thinking of is going to pop up and probably going to take over, and then everyone regresses too. So those law of averages tend to even out a little bit from regression to overachieving.
Rams come back?
Could.
Man.
Who comes back?
I think the Rams are kind of gutted, aren't they? They need like a
step back year.
So I could see Seattle. Seattle has a lot of good young players. They've hit on some draft picks.
Yep.
That's a tough place. I mean, their home schedule is always going to be favorable because it's a hard place to play. So I could see Seattle. I don't think they're going to be like the best team in the NFC, but could they take a step forward? For sure. What do you think about the Lions? A lot of people saying, and they've got the highest over-under win total. Could they jump and be like a 12-win team under Dan Campbell?
I have so much trouble seeing that just because I've never really seen it. And like every time I think, oh, Detroit might be pretty good, they're not. Is there a team in the South that could jump back up?
Well, Carolina.
That division was awful.
Carolina's got a decent roster.
The Saints with Carr?
The Saints.
Well, I'm not a big fan of their coach. I think he's, I don't really think he's.
Yeah, if the Saints had Sean Payton, I would say, okay, Sean Payton, Derek Carr.
Yep.
Let's see what happens there.
I mean, what about the Bears?
Yeah.
What if the Bears hit here?
They have a lot of talent, a lot of weapons.
That's a good one. Yeah.
A lot of weapons. They signed a couple linebackers, you know.
I could see the Bears. I'd love that one.
Julian Garcia chimes in and says, speaking of the Bears, I heard someone comp Will Levis to Jay Cutler, and I'm out. We already have our version of Jay Cutler on this team. Cousins is Jay Cutler with a better attitude. Jay's record on the Bears was 51-51. And as we know, Cousins' career record before this season was 59-59. Both have one career playoff win. Tons of Bears fans in my life would always say, he's the best quarterback in franchise history, Cutler.
Yeah.
To which I responded, just because your franchise has a terrible history with quarterbacks doesn't mean you should give a half-decent one $126 million. Thank God the Vikings didn't do the same with Kirk. Well, actually, they did. I mean, the Bears gave it to Jay all in one. It was like a seven-year deal, right? 7 years, $126 million or something, or 6 years.
Yep.
The Vikings have given Kirk much more than $126 million over 5 years.
Yeah.
And soon to be a sixth year here. And now there's been some inflation over the past 10 years. But, yeah, I guess that's an interesting one. Like, if Will Levis was Jay Cutler, you can win a lot of games with a cheaper Jay Cutler. But, obviously, if you're looking for a 10-year franchise quarterback, I don't want Jay Cutler 2.0.
Are we talking about talent, though? Or are we talking – because, I mean, to me
– you say, like, big arm with kind of a weird, aloof personality.
Well, if it's an aloof personality, then I'm out. If it's the arm talent, like, I don't think people understand. Jake Cutler had more arm talent than Kirk has, and it's probably not all that close.
Yeah, he had Brett Favre-like sort of tendencies. Yeah.
I mean, his arm was incredible. But, yes, if we're talking about an aloof personality, then I'm out. So that's what I couldn't tell from that. I think it was in a mock draft that you read, Phil. I couldn't tell if that was a comparison of Levis to Cutler with just talent, or if it was saying that there's personality similarities. Because I mean, as much as some people tried to defend Cutler, I would have wanted no part of that dude.
Yeah.
Okay. I like him. I don't know if I can trade. I have to be talked into trading up to get him if they want to pursue Levis? That route. Yeah, Levis. Levis, that is. Yep. I was never, as a younger kid and a more immature person than I am now, I know that surprises you. I was never a big Jay Cutler guy, but as I've gotten older, I definitely appreciated him more than that. Than I was like a pseudo teenage football fan.
I'm the opposite. I loved Jay Cutler when I was young and dumb, and now that I've become a little bit more of an adult and see that he's just like a pouting baby on the sidelines, I don't want that on my team. But I don't know that that's what Will Levis is. But there's been some rumblings that maybe he's not doing well in some of these interviews, and he's got just sort of so I don't know. I've never met the guy, so I don't know. Robbie Bruzik says, rewrite history. Who is one player you would love to see in a Minnesota uniform in retrospect? Like Larry Fitzgerald in purple, for instance. Add him to that 2009 team. Or one player you could have added to a lineup or a team to get us a championship.
I got the simplest one. And he was in a jersey here and then left way before he should have, David Ortiz on those Twins teams.
Oh, my God. That's a like great realistic one.
Like, if you had just kept him, what happens there?
Okay, so that's a great question. So 02 was the last year. He was in the lineup for those, like, A's and Angels playoff games.
Yes, he was.
He was a good hitter for the Twins. People forget, like, he was a bust. No, he was one of their better hitters, actually. He didn't do what he did with the Red Sox in Minnesota. But he winds up on that 03 Red Sox team, was excellent. They lose in 7 to the Yankees in the playoffs. And then 04 is the year they broke through, in large part because of him. So you would have had Ortiz for the 03 playoffs, which the Twins were in and fighting with the Yankees. The 04 playoffs, fighting with the Yankees. The 06 playoffs,
that's what, where you had
one of the best teams in franchise history.
Do you lose like that? Because that team was really, crap, really good, dude. And the A's spanked you.
That 06 team, the Twins had Morneau MVP, Mauer batting champion, Torrey Hunter, peak season, Michael Kadire broke out. Yep. Nick Punto actually had a breakout season as your starting third baseman.
Yep. Yeah, they had a Cy Young, an MVP, and a batting champion, and like two others.
And Joe Nathan.
Gloves and Joe Nathan. It was a loaded team. I would say, and I don't know if this would have been like the favorites, but I wish the Twins would have got Cliff Lee in 2010. I mean, I think that would have been a completely different playoff series. Obviously, like with Lariano in 06, he doesn't get hurt. Also very much different, but he was still with the Twins. If they get Cliff Lee in 2010 and they don't have to start, you know, Brian Dunsing in game 3 of the final series in Yankee Stadium, I feel a lot better about that rotation.
So, I mean, how unrealistic, because you guys have brought up realistic examples, and that's kind of where I want to play around, because you could easily say, all right, let's add, I don't know, Hall of Fame defensive player, the 98, Reggie White to
Gretzky
the 98 Vikings or something.
Stars, yeah.
Yeah. That would have been great. My guess is they probably would have beat the Penguins in the Stanley Cup Finals if they had 1991 Wayne Gretzky. I love the Cliff Lee example is great, man. I don't know if we can trade Aaron Hicks. It's going to be too steep for us. That's a great example. I'll give you, if I remember right, toward the end of the KG run, let me just look this up real quick. So it was after the Sam Cassell and Latrell Sprewell stuff blew sky high, but KG was still around and in his prime for like 3 more years after they went to the Western Conference Finals, right? And there were some rumblings around that time that Allen Iverson was disgruntled in Philadelphia. He wound up going to the Denver Nuggets in 06, 07. But there was rumblings even like a year or two before that. And by the time he got to Denver, it was just kind of a shell of himself. If you could have paired up Allen Iverson with like 2 or 3 more years left in his prime with Kevin Garnett in like 05, 06, 07. That would have been a blast.
That would have been awesome. I think we did a, like 3 years ago during the pandemic when we were doing alternate realities, when we were grasping at all of our great content ideas. And I think I floated, what if the Wolves made a run at Steve Nash when he left Dallas to go to Phoenix? Because that was also around that time he signed with Phoenix. Can you imagine a prime Steve Nash, who I think won like 2 MVPs with the Suns, also with Kevin Garnett in the mid-2000s? That could have been awesome to see.
And then another obvious one is, and it's, I was having a discussion about this with a Wolves fan friend of mine like 2 weeks ago, just kind of talking about like what if moments in Wolves history or trades. We were talking about best trades in Wolves history because it was a flagrant house topic too. And he brought up, the Marbury trade on draft night. And I said, actually, I think that's one of the worst trades in franchise history. You traded Ray Allen for Stephon Marbury. What if you would have had, and KG and Ray Allen did eventually win a championship together in the twilight of their careers. What if instead of a weird, disgruntled, selfish Stephon Marbury, you would have had Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett from 1996 until like 2005 together as a pairing in that Western Conference?
Mm. The Wolves have a ton of those, though. 1992 draft. What if the Wolves win the lottery and get Shaquille? Now, you wouldn't have stayed here a long time.
No, he would have left for the Lakers after 4 years. But
he would have been here, and it would have been intriguing. Like, the franchise's arc would have changed completely because they would have made the playoffs.
Yeah. So, what would have – they probably went to – like, Orlando actually maxed the – was like 4 years or 5 years, and then he went to – the Lakers.
Yep.
And they had Hardaway and they had Nick Anderson and they went to the finals. Yeah. They went to the finals.
Penny, baby. Penny was great at that time before he started to break down. God, I liked him.
Yeah. A shout out to our friends, by the way, over at Nutrisource. Nutrisource is the official dog food and pet food of Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily as well. Maya Mackie this morning was, as always, you know what? Yesterday, I got to be honest, man, she tricked us yesterday. Do your dogs ever trick you where like your spouse feeds them, but you didn't see that happen. And then the dog comes up to you all like Maya tricked us into an extra meal yesterday. Because she loves her Nutrisource chicken and rice so much.
You have to communicate constantly because I'm going to tell you right now, the little girl on the left of your screen there, Stella, she thinks that Pop-Pop is a moron. And she's not entirely wrong, but I'm going to tell you right now, she tricks me constantly. She gets me up early for either her breakfast of Nutrisource and or the training rewards treats that you are looking at right there. Phil, communication with your spouse is the absolute key because ultimately I think the dogs are smarter than us.
And take some advice from me. Don't feed your dog Raisin Bran or dark chocolate.
Yeah, well,
that'll wind up in an emergency trip to the vet. Feed your dog Nutrisource chicken and rice and training treats.
They'll appreciate it.
Yep. NutrisourcePetFoods.com. NutrisourcePetFoods.com to find a Nutrisource retailer near you. Also, a shout out to our friends at EcoFun, a new sponsor here on Purple Daily and Mackie and Judd. EcoFun has started the preseason sale on all electric bikes and scooters. I'm a big scooter guy over the last year. I learned to love scooters in Seattle and excited to bring that over to Minneapolis here. But they're featuring Beachstar Step Through electric bikes, MSRP 2100 on sale for just $1,599, lowest price ever. All gas scooters are $100 to $300 off plus free storage until spring. All electric scooters are $300 to $500 off and free storage until spring. Get in the scooter game like old Macadac with our friends at EcoFun. EcoFun, E-C-O-F-U-N. All right, Dave Z chimes in, says, you guys keep insisting that the Wolves wanted to run things back last year, but it's also possible Kwesi wanted to take a measured approach, make a few moves, mostly observe and see what they had. That was the Guerin approach with the Wild, which appears to be working. I know it's tempting to look at Ryan Poles as doing a good job with the Bears, but is he? The coaching hire seems suspect. He's also cut so much money that they're almost having to pay extra for players just to meet the league minimum spending. That is a good point. They still have like $50 million in cap space, and like we're pretty deep into the second wave of free agency. So you're going to wind up, I don't know how they're going to do that. Can you restructure contracts and in reverse? Hey,
what's the floor? That I don't know.
It's usually like, isn't there like a 10% gap? So I think it's like whatever the cap is, 220 or something, whatever it is, that it would be like 200. I think there's like a 10% gap. So, you know, I mean, I think it was both. I think the Wolves said, we aren't blowing this thing up. We're not going to be a 3-win team. Sorry. We're the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And I think Kwesi said, you know what? Okay. Let's survey this thing, see what happens. And then if we do well and you trust us, then let us make the moves we need to make next offseason. It was probably a joint decision is my guess.
Agree completely. Yeah. And I don't think that if it had been Kwesi's call completely, I don't think he hangs on to all of the vets that they did, but it does make sense with the timing of both the hiring of Kwesi, which I think was January, and then O'Connell was not till after the Super Bowl, that they had to have some time there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's probably, and you know what? Ultimately, I guess for at least a season, it did work. You won 13 games. But I have, you know, I don't have a problem with a guy coming in and taking a measured approach and sort of like seeing the locker room and things like that. And he's exactly right. Bill Guerin, that is exactly what. And Bill then said, okay, this locker room's terrible, and blew the entire thing up. But he did take some time to do it.
Yeah. How's Vinny doing?
He's good. He wants to go outside. Mom's on a call. Dad's doing podcasts. He hasn't gone out since something like 8:45.
Oh, Vinny boy.
He's a
poor guy. All right.
He wants to
He's going
to
pee on your.
Oh, he's fine. Also, he likes. So speaking of dogs tricking us, this is what he also likes to do. Around 11, as you can hear him in the background right now, he actually doesn't have to go potty. He just wants to frolic outside for a little bit and then come right back in.
Maya gets the same way. Middle of the day, she'll get like zoomies in the middle of the day, which is good. She's a happy dog, but it'll just be like, okay, we know we'll later on, we'll go out, we'll climb the hill, we'll do our thing. Be great.
Now do your dogs get treats when they come back in from a trip outside?
If they went potty.
Okay, because Stella's whole thing is to politic for treats. So she will go outside, take a small pee, and come in and say, it's time for treats.
Oh, so she's smart. So it's like a political just a platform. Just a little tinkle.
Yeah, just a little tinkle. But it's like a politician. She is literally like, I will do the least I can do because you owe me that.
His main move is to also, if I don't give him a treat, he'll put his little nose kind of by the counter where all the treats are, and then he'll look at mom. And then mom comes at me and says, did you give him a treat? And I said, no, he didn't go potty. And then she goes, I'll give him a treat anyways. Which
You're the bad guy. No, you have to make her the bad guy. No. Always make sure that you come out looking good.
I wish humans got treats when they tinkled, you know?
Yeah.
Just, you come out of the bathroom and there's
you can go get yourself.
Someone some tater tots for you when you walk out of the bathroom.
You can always just stick them right outside the John for yourself. Oh, it's time for tater tots. Who wants a tater tot? Who wants a tater tot?
Who's a good boy? All right, one more here for you, Dex, and then you can go tend to Vinny. Todd Lemke says, I just listened to the Tuesday show, Purple Daily, I believe, and you guys were ragging on the Kirk Cousins contract. Classic Mackie, Judd, Declan, just ragging on Cousins. And I agree that you can't just put that much salary cap burden on one player, but you guys are dead strong on giving Justin Jefferson the same type of contract as a wide receiver and give him NBA-type power to be involved in who the next... I don't think we're saying he deserves, like, NBA-type power. Yeah,
The Vikings are... The Vikings said that, not us.
Yeah, I mean, should you, like, get an opinion from a guy? Yeah, I don't think they're letting him run the front office. Let's not over-exaggerate. But let me just say this to Todd and to everyone else. They should be a little careful. I would sign Justin Jefferson, but, like, yeah, I don't think anyone has any illusions that that contract is just going to not be problematic for roster building. It is. But there's a huge difference between paying one player who's maybe the 10th best at his position top money and another player who's the best at his position top money. Right. Let's say on your team you only get maybe like three or four slots where you can pay top money at that position to. They better be top players. If I'm giving out one of my three or four top salary slots to a non-top player at that position, that's how you get yourself into trouble, and that's how you wind up with a non-elite roster. So paying Justin Jefferson, paying, you know, Nick Bosa, paying, take your pick, top cornerback guy, Sauce Gardner at some point, that's different than paying Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, compared to Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
So, yes, it's in fact, I think we had this discussion a couple of months back. You're talking about a top three player. That's a huge difference. They're going to pay him. But just to be very clear, we never said that he should get power. We had a big discussion about the fact that the Vikings said we are consulting him on some things.
Do I shoot him a text and say, hey, just why don't you watch some film of this guy and just let me know what you think? I don't know. Like, do I want him to feel
don't
involved?
Even look at me in the hallway. I'm going full Zimmer. You don't know where my office is. Forget where my office is.
He's one of 20 people I might solicit an opinion from, including scouts or whatever in the organization. He deserves to feel wanted is the point, even if you don't even use his thoughts, I guess. So anyways, all right, that's your Feedback Friday 2.0 here. Part 2 on Mackie and Judd. Another batch of Vikings feedback on Purple Daily if you haven't checked that out yet. And we'll see you guys on Monday here on Mackie and Judd.